Hello, everyone, and welcome to the inaugural 2015 episode of 32 Fans in 32 Days. I'm Alexander Chester. With you, as always, my co-host, Akiva Wienerker. So tell us, Akiva, a little bit about what this podcast is.
I thought we were going to do 32 podcasts speaking to a fan of each team once, and we'll speak to one fan or a beat writer of each team, and we'll have about a half-hour conversation. And we'll talk about the team, see how they think they're going to be doing. And, you know, if you listen to all of them, maybe you'll get a pretty good view of what's going on, you know, how each of the 32 teams feels going into the 2015 NFL season.
Yeah, and usually this is the time of season when fans of every team are very optimistic. And to gauge that, one of the things Akiva and I are going to do at the end of each episode is we'll run through the schedule for that team, do the Mike and the Mad Dog Classic. We will ask each game, win or loss. And Akiva and I like to joke around about websites that do over-unders or do predictions, and if you add it up, the total that they have for the league is way over 500. And I'm quite confident that the fans we're going to speak to are going to be quite confident themselves, and we're going to have a 32 fans in 32 days NFL season that's well over 500, which of course is impossible. But we'll track that, and we'll see which fans are a little more realistic or even pessimistic, and which fans are drinking the Kool-Aid during the preseason here. We're happy that you're joining us. Importantly, we would like to say that if you would like to join us as a guest for a future podcast, if you have strong opinions or connections or experience or anything else with a specific team in the NFL, please let Akiva know on Twitter. Akiva is Keev26, that's K-E-E-V-26 on Twitter. And also, please subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Please rate the podcast on iTunes. It only takes a minute, but it will help us. And please tell your friends and family, anybody who's interested in the NFL. So the way that Akiva and I have scheduled the podcasts is we each made our preseason NFL power rankings from 1 to 32, and we're going to be starting at the 32nd ranked team and moving up to the first ranked team, and each day we'll come up with a podcast for the next team. And right at the start, Akiva and I had a disagreement between 32 and 31. We both agree that the two worst teams in the NFL, at least at this point in time, are in the AFC South. But I thought that Tennessee is the worst team in the league, whereas Akiva thought it's the Jaguars. So we decided that since they're both tied at 31.5, the opening podcast today will feature both the Jaguars and the Titans, so we will actually start with the Jaguars. For our purposes, we'll officially rank as 32, and then we'll move on to the Titans at 31. And if you don't hear your team's podcast for a week or two, that's good news. It means that we think highly of you. If you don't hear about them for 3 or 4 weeks, maybe you have a Super Bowl contender on your hands. But we're glad that you're joining us today, and we hope you enjoy the podcast. We're starting today with the 32nd ranked Jacksonville Jaguars, and joining us today is Jaguars fan Alvin Brook. Alvin, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show.
So thanks for being here. You're doing great, but apparently, according to Akiva and I, your team is not. The consensus ranking that we have is that the Jaguars, they were tied with the Titans at 31.5, their divisional opponents. But this is not a team that Akiva and I are very confident about going into the season. So tell us what you're feeling going into the season. Tell us if we're wrong or if we're right.
Sure. I can say from the outside looking in, I wouldn't have a lot of optimism for the Jags either. Definitely have had five straight pretty terrible seasons, but really the consensus on the ground, I went to the Jags practice today, keep up with them a lot, and dude, they are going in the right direction. Everyone here's really loved everything from the top down, from Khan to the new GM, David Caldwell, coach Gus Bradley, and we really feel like the team they're putting together is headed in the right direction.
All right, well, you mentioned Gus Bradley. I got to be perfectly honest, not a Jaguars fan. He strikes me as one of a handful of these interchangeable bald white guys with a goatee, you know, like Pettine. But you know, it's his third season, and they went 4-12 and 3-13 in the last two. So tell us what it is about Gus that's, you know, look, that was an improvement on Mularkey. I think he went 2-14. But tell us what reason that that Jags fans have to be confident in Gus Bradley this season.
Yeah, I mean, you saw what he did with the defense in Seattle, the scheme that he kind of built there, obviously did a great job. And if you watch this guy in some videos, he's the most energetic, the most confidence-building coach I've ever seen. And honestly, when Mularkey left, there wasn't a good thing to be said about him, from the sports writers to really any of the players. No one came out and said, man, you know, it just didn't work. Really no one felt like he made the game fun. They felt like he made it into a chore. And Gus, if you see him on the field, he gets the fans pumped. He gets the team pumped. He's just a really energetic, lovable guy.
Yeah, so, I mean, it is funny because this is his third year. And obviously you'd agree this is a make or break year, right? If they don't go at least 7-9, you'd think it's probably going to be it for him, no?
I actually disagree. I talked to a couple guys who do a local radio show here, and I asked this exact question. I was like, look, what's the number that breaks it for Gus? And people are saying three. Three wins is the number that he's leaving. And this is why.
I do that with my wife. You set the bar really low, and then you could jump right over it.
Well, I'll tell you, I think Con had to have known. And really, if you're watching the Jags, when we had Gabbert and Jones-Drew was down, we were in basically a team of backups. You can go look at those drafts under Gene Smith, or old GM, and none of them are playing anymore. Almost everyone has moved on from those teams and is a backup or maybe a practice squad guy. I mean, we just had a dreadful team that honestly, we didn't deserve to win two or four games a couple of those years.
Let's talk QB. You know, I've been looking a lot at Bortles' numbers. I saw him play a bunch of times last year. You know, one thing people don't realize is he really ran the ball very well. But in terms of passing, I mean, the Jaguars, I guess because they were getting killed a lot, like they threw the ball all game long. Like he threw 30 passes a game last season.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he has a game against the Texans where he throws 33 times for 117 yards. You know, he's got a game, 36 passes for under 200 yards against the Steelers.
And he also got worse as the season went on. You know, yeah. Unlike some other rookie QBs like Bridgewater. I mean, it seems
Well, he stopped throwing interceptions, but his accuracy was bad, and
yeah.
their yards per completion and attempt were horrendous.
Yeah, so there's a few things kind of working against him there. I'm sure you can see, no team gave up more sacks last year than the Jags. There are a couple guys on the offensive line who have been replaced or at least are fighting for spots now, who are kind of just turnstiles. We're just letting people in. And when you're playing against someone like J.J. Watt twice a year, you're going to give up some sacks. I think we gave up 10 sacks against the Washington Redskins. So, I mean, there were times where the offensive line just looked like Swiss cheese. You know, we also had Bortles near the end of the year. He admitted saying, you know, my conditioning, I wasn't used to throwing this much. And by the end of the year, he said he felt like he had a dead arm. So there's been a lot of off-season things trying to build his conditioning and also teach him better mechanics so that he can play better through the end of the year.
Well, you talked about the O-line. I know they brought in Jeremy Parnell from the Cowboys, who I think was a backup there. And they brought in Wisniewski, but he's been injury prone. So what reason do you have to think this O-line can improve this season?
Sure. Well, we like Parnell. I know he's a backup, but when he was playing, he did play very well. Mm-hmm. He's going to be over there with Linder on the right side. Linder is, I would say, far and away our best offensive lineman. And from everything we've seen in practice, they're looking really good. They're starting to gel together very well. Jokel, the left tackle, we're really hoping this becomes a year things start to click. You know, former number two pick. That at times has not looked like a number two pick. He's looked like a third something. You know, and if you look at the numbers, I guess last year on that offensive line, we had just a lot of, you know, young players, lots of, you know, two rookies and guys who weren't really playing consistently on the teams they're with before the Jags.
Their wide receivers really don't stand out. You have obviously the tight end situation is about as good as anyone outside of New England in the league with Julius Thomas and Mercedes Lewis.
Wait a second, I got a hot take there, Akiva.
Warning, hot take approaching.
What?
Honestly, Julius Thomas to me looks like a Peyton Manning creation more than anything else.
You got to give him some credit. Listen, I'll take him over Jason Morrow. I don't know who's your tight end in Minnesota.
His catch percentage, yards per reception, yards per game weren't particularly noteworthy. What made him so valuable, as fantasy football players will tell you, is that he had 24 touchdowns in 27 games the last 2 years, which is second, I think, in the league only to Dez Bryant. And Jaguars fans can tell you, if you need further evidence that TDs are not sustainable or repeatable necessarily, you know, look at Thomas's predecessor. I think Mercedes Lewis had like one or two TDs a year every year of his career. Then he had that season with like 9 or 10.
Yep.
And instead of treating it as an outlier, the Jaguars went and signed him to a big contract. And I think the next year he had zero touchdowns. Is that right?
So you're right. He had two, then 10, then zero.
Yeah.
Though then back-to-back fours. I mean, we know that touchdowns are not going to be consistent. And I don't expect Julius Thomas to put up the same number of touchdowns just because the offense isn't prolific when it's not – I mean, we're not being run by Peyton Manning. But I'm actually going to go out on a limb and say, for anyone who's a fantasy football player, two players to really look at, Julius Thomas and Allen Robinson. One thing you're going to think you can look at with Julius Thomas is Greg Olsen, who's now the offensive coordinator, was with the Raiders last year, loves to use his tight ends. And if you kind of go look at the schemes that he runs, his tight ends just get tons of touches. And he did it a lot with Carr, and I think we're going to see it with Bortles, just to be able to dump it off to one of the two tight ends, Lewis or Thomas. So I'm going to be drafting him in my league. And then Allen Robinson, if you haven't seen some of the highlights from when he was healthy last year or from camp this year, Allen Robinson is going to become a top 15 wide receiver in the league in the next 2 years. He has got so much talent. And if people saw how he's playing right now, he would have been drafted first round last year.
I think like a lot of fantasy owners, I had a run last season with Allen Robinson, with Allen Hurns. I think he was actually the first one I had. And then Marquise Lee. Yep. So Robinson's the one that you see breaking out of that trio of rookie receivers, right?
Yeah, Lee is the – athletically, he's the best. The problem with Lee is that he's been injured time and time again, just pulled his hamstring. So I'm not looking to Lee to get a majority of those catches. Robinson seems to really have gelled, and it looks like Hurns is going to be the week one starter. He's going to be wide receiver too.
Switching to the defensive side of the ball, I mean, it's interesting. I'd say like the strength is really on the D-line. Would you agree?
I would have agreed last year, though now it's become like ACL tear zone. Cedric Marks went out at the end of the year, and then we lost Dante Fowler, I think. It really was like first 30 minutes of practice, the number three pick in the draft out of Florida. So I like the defensive line. I don't expect it to be as good as it was last year.
But, I mean, Odrick can play. They got him from the Dolphins. I mean, there's definitely positives there. The back seven is kind of a nightmare.
Yeah, I think the linebackers is the weakest group in the Jags. You know, Paul Posluszny in the middle. He's great against the run, but he is not good in coverage. So tight ends last year just feasted on the Jags.
But he was also banged up last year, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think he tore a pec at one point, so he was out then. We put in JT Thomas, who's not with us again. Yeah, I just don't think Posluszny is ever going to be great in coverage. Someone I really loved last year and I think is going to have a breakout year is Telvin Smith on the outside. Was really good for Florida State, and a lot of people didn't like him just due to his size. He's, you know, last year was maybe 210. Now it's probably closer to 220. But he is a playmaker. And I'm looking to him to have the big breakout season for the Jags on the defensive side of the ball.
I mean, you mentioned Dante Fowler. I got to be honest, not as a Jags fan, other than signing Julius Thomas, which, as you heard, I'm not so high on. I think there were three things that I heard about the Jaguars this offseason. Number one, the tragic retirement of Jackson DeVille. Number two, the announcement that Justin Blackmon is basically gone for good. And number three, all the hype and the excitement after the draft of Dante Fowler, and instantly goes down, and he's going to be replaced by, I don't know, Chris Clemens or something, who's like 40 years old. So I got to give you props that you're as optimistic as you are, because when I saw that injury, I think there was a Vine put up of that injury to Fowler. I felt bad for Jags fans. I was like, oh my God, what a kick in the balls that is, you know. Right after the draft.
That's definitely tough. And then you sit there and you second guess the pick. But, it's ACL. It's not something we could have predicted. It's just something that happens. You know, if we'd have picked Amari Cooper, then maybe he'd have done something too. So, you know, that's just the way it works out. I would like to touch on the Justin Blackmon comment. That's almost become a joke somewhat in Jacksonville that it's been pretty evident for about a solid year in Jacksonville that Justin was not coming back. Lots of photos had surfaced. He didn't look like he was in football shape. I knew people who knew him, so about third, you know, now this is third-hand conversation, but most of them said he's focusing on him and not on football. And, I think as Jags fans, we're now just saying, you know, we wish him the best. We hope that everything on his side works out. But we are not holding out any hope that he's going to be playing for the Jags ever again.
We missed one key rookie on the offensive side of the ball. What are your opinions on the running back situation in general? And TJ Yeldon, is he the type of guy people should be jumping on in fantasy? Or are you confident in real life football that he's going to be doing a good job. What do you think?
You know, when we drafted him, I was like, you know, this to me feels like when you date the ugly sister. You look at Derrick Henry coming. I mean, I would watch Alabama games, and Derrick Henry is a freak. And the guy is huge, and he runs through defenses. And then we got Yeldon, and I was like, all right, you know, we'll see. So I would say I was not high on it when we made the pick. But then, now that we've seen him in practice, the guy is smooth. He doesn't have that top-end speed, but he does have some good acceleration. And he can really – he has really good cuts, and he works well in traffic. So everything sounds like it's good. I really hope Denard Robinson gives him a run for his money and at least takes some of those snaps away from him, because I've always been a big Denard fan.
Let's take a look at the schedule. Realistically – unless you live in the Jacksonville area or you're an AFC South opponent, you're probably not going to see a lot of the Jags this year. I think they have one Thursday night game. But then again, they do have that game on Yahoo. So if you have a connection to the internet, you will be able to see at least one game if you can wake up early in the morning that week. But let's go through the schedule and, you know, tell us what you think is happening. Week one, they're the season opener against Cam Newton and the Panthers at home.
Yeah, I mean, I love Cam, and I – would love to say that we would beat him, but I just don't see it happening. I hope, you know, I always pull for the Panthers when we're playing them. I'm giving us, you know, a 30-40% chance of winning that game, but realistically, I'm not seeing that as a win.
And you love Cam. Is that what's the reason for that?
Well, he's got the best smile in football. And, I mean,
I don't know if you were an Auburn guy or something like that, but
no, I went to Georgia, but yeah, he's always been a playmaker, and I love watching him play. The way he runs the football is insane.
All right. Well, next week you're still at home in inter-Florida matchup against the Dolphins.
Yeah, the beginning of the schedule looks tough. I think everyone, we look at it, the first four games, we're hoping to win one. We'd love to win two, but it's not going to happen. Tannehill, we've got a shot, but I'm still not seeing this as be a win, so it's going to be tough going up to New England for game three. And
yeah, it doesn't get harder. You go to New England, and then you go to Indianapolis in weeks 3 and 4.
All right, so through these four, I'm saying 3-1, and I'm calling it right now.
Wait, 3-1?
We went 1-3.
That's still not bad, though.
We're going to beat the Patriots.
Woo! Wow, in New England.
Well, it's going to happen. You may not have Brady to deal with, so.
Oh, yeah.
Well, okay, well, if Brady's back, then I'm going to probably – you know, take that one back. But
so you've spoken to Goodell. You're confident, or actually not Goodell. You've spoken to the federal judge. He's not playing in week 3 against the Jacksonville Jaguars. You're confident.
I can tell you, I'm actually an attorney and have had some cases in federal court, and will tell you that the injunction is not going to go through. I would be shocked if there's an injunction which would allow him to play. If he's going to play, it's going to have to be through a settlement with the NFL. So, you know, that remains to be seen. We have two full months almost for that game, but you know, I'm praying to the federal judges and to God that New England does not have Brady for that game.
All right, so there you go. You beat the Patriots on the road against Jimmy Garoppolo. Then you go to Indy. I think you said that's a loss. Then you go to Tampa, another Florida matchup.
Yeah, I actually think we've got a good shot here. I think Winston will be a good quarterback in the future. I just don't see the Bucs as being that great of a team. The defense was pretty weak last year. So I'm going to go and put that as a win for the Jags. So now we're up to 2-3.
All right. Well, that's not a bad start, especially given that schedule. And then you got a little home stretch. You play the Texans at home and then the Bills at home before the bye week. You're winning one of those? You're winning both of those? What do you think?
Well, I think we're going to win. I wanted to split with Houston, and I think now it's going to be that first game. You know, they're still not sure who they're going to trot out their quarterback, and now the running back position is going to look pretty weak without Foster. So I'm going to give the Jags the Houston win, and though I will be at the London game, I'm going to have to say the Bills are probably going to pull that out, and we're going to lose.
So you're flying to London just to see the Jaguars?
Oh, yeah. I should also say there's about 1,700 of us going down to the Bucks game.
Wow. I would fly to like Rome just to not see the Jaguars.
All right, so I'm going to log into Yahoo, and I hope I have a good enough internet connection to look in the crowd and see if I can find you there. Okay, so now we're saying 3-4 going into the bye week, right? That's not bad.
Yeah, I would be. I mean, we would be thrilled, though. I will tell you, from the last 2 years, we always lose the bye week. So that was when we found out Justin Blackmon was suspended. I think we found out Ace Sanders was going to be suspended 1 year. We have injuries, so.
So you're asking all your wide receivers be very careful in England. Do not do anything that will get you in trouble with the British authorities.
Yeah, I hope, but we always seem to find something to do there during our bye week. So November 1st, I'm hopefully not going to be on the internet looking at the scores.
So then you guys have, and it's worth pointing out, it's fun seeing schedule quirks when we do, we're going game by game. The Jaguars have every single game is either a back-to-back home game or a back-to-back road game, with one exception the entire season.
Yeah.
That's a little quirky. Anyway, so you guys go after the bye, you're 3-4. Yeah, and then you go to the Jets.
Yeah, the Jets isn't going to be a win either. I actually think Geno's going to get it together. He had that great game at the end of the year.
Wow. Geno fan. Jackson.
I'm a Jets fan. I don't even think Geno's going to be starting.
I'm not a Geno fan, but that game you had at the end of the year, and then I read a couple of things about you guys in camp. I mean,
You know what? I know there all these Hall of Famers being made in training camp this year. You know, Mariota and Geno Smith. They haven't thrown any interceptions in training camp. I've never heard this be a thing before this year. That a guy has no picks in training camp, so he's going to the Pro Bowl. If you want to get a better idea of what Geno Smith had, I know he played really well at the end of last year. In particular, he had the Jets' first 300-yard, three-touchdown, no-interception game, I think, ever in team history in the last game of the season. But if you really want to see Geno, then, check out the Buffalo game. Check out tape of that from, week 8, and you'll see. That's the real Geno, I think. Anyway, back to the Jaguars. So you have the Jets a loss to 3-5, and then you guys go to Baltimore the next week.
Yeah, we're not going to beat Joe Flacco in that defense. So I'm going to go 3-6. Though, now we're about to see two Titans games come up pretty quickly. You know, I liked Mariota in college, and I just don't buy the hype coming out of Tennessee, though I know the Tennessee Titans have been kicked down as much as we have in recent years. So, I don't want to wish them the best, but, they can do all right. I don't like we're playing them later in the year. I'd rather play them early, but we're going to win that Thursday night game at home for sure.
That Thursday night game, I like to think of it as like the take your wife out for dinner game. it's like you look at the schedule, you're like, oh, sweet, what's on tonight? Like Cowboys, Redskins? Jets, Dolphins? No, it's Titans, Jaguars. Where are we going out tonight?
I went to that game last year. We hosted them for Thursday night football as well, and that was actually a pretty solid game. Maybe not for the rest of the country, but I enjoyed the comeback.
I feel like if the Jaguars won the Super Bowl, they still wouldn't get any Sunday night games the next season.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've had a Sunday night game. We haven't had a Monday night game, I think, now in 3 years.
That's impressive, because almost everybody nowadays gets a Monday night game.
Yeah, it's...
I think what happened was, had ESPN not fired Bill Simmons, that's what Goodell was threatening ESPN with, 4 Jaguars games this season.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you think Al Michaels can name 5 Jaguars? I don't think there's a chance in hell.
I don't think they've seen – they've definitely never – since – I was going to say we, but I'm no longer on the NBC team. But since NBC got Sunday Night Football, I don't believe there's been a Jaguars game.
No, I don't think so. And I would actually point out, we only have one – 4 p.m. game. Everything's at 1 p.m. We have the Dolphins games. It's the only one we have at 4. And then we've got that 9:30 internet game.
What's that? Is that like 2:30 in London or something? What's the local time there?
So we're 5 hours off. So yeah, 2:30. Okay.
Right. So you have the Ravens as a loss, and then the Titans, you said, is a win.
Yeah, that's my stone cold lock of all the Jags games. That Titans game's me the one we win.
Fair enough. So you're 4-6, and then you host Philip Rivers and the Chargers.
Yeah, I'm actually a Philip Rivers fan. We're not going to win that game. And then it's been a long time since we've beat the Titans twice, and I don't know if you know this, but we, I think, are the only team to only have 3 losses and them all be against the same team, and that was the Titans in the late 90s, where we lost to them twice in the regular season and then in the playoffs. So I can't I can't say that we're going to win both of those games, so I'm going to give them the December game.
Wow, that is a fun fact, though. You guys host the you have a couple really good quarterbacks come to town. You have Andrew Luck and then Matt Ryan. What do you think about those games?
All right, so Andrew Luck and the Colts, I think they are going deep in the postseason. They're going to win a Super Bowl in the next 2, maybe 3 years, but it's I'm guessing next 2. We're not going to win a game against the Colts for a year or two. No, that's not happening. Falcons, you know, maybe they're going to get that pass rush together. But between the Falcons and the Saints, I know top 5 quarterback, great quarterbacks, top 10, both of them. We're going to win one of those games just based on the defense alone. You know, the Falcons and the Saints are both struggling. The Falcons for years been trying to put together that pass rush. I think they went and got Vic Beasley for that. But, yeah, we're going to win one of those two.
Which one?
All right, all my buddies up in Atlanta, I guess I'll go. We're going to win the Saints game.
So that's your 5th win? And then you close at Houston. That game might be big for the Texans. I guess if you're 5-10, it's not big for the Jaguars.
No, that would be a big season for us because it would have been the best game in year or the best season in years.
Oh man, you're making me sad here.
So I've already split with the Texans. I'm not going to take that game. Though now I'm looking at the schedule, and if I have really only predicted 5 wins, those I guess are my ones that I'm saying those are going to be wins. But overall, I'm going out and saying we're going to win 6 or 7 games, and this team is much, much improved from last year, and really we should have won, you know, 4 or 5 last year. We are a 6 or 7 win team this year.
So what is it? So is that a win then in week 17? Or?
That one is a loss. I'm only going to split with the Texans. We are happy for every win we get now. I'm a season ticket owner, and I'm going to keep going to every game that's here for years to come. So we're itching for wins. And if it means we drop a spot in the draft, then we drop a spot in the draft.
I agree with you on that. I'm a Vikings fan, and I root for my team to win every game, even if they're 3-10. I can't root against them. On the other hand, sometimes it backfires. You know, Adrian Peterson injured himself in Washington in that lost season.
Mm-hmm.
And not only
yeah, I remember.
Yeah, not only did it cost him, but because they ended up winning that game and Washington lost that game, Washington jumped ahead of them and got RG3, although I guess in hindsight that didn't work out so well for them. But I agree with you about that. But so are we putting this down as 5-11 or are we putting this down at 6-10?
We're going down at 6-10.
All right.
And I think we're more likely to win 7 than 5.
Still, either way, it'd be a big improvement, as you said.
Yeah,
let me ask a crazy question.
Warning, hot take approaching.
If you switched Andrew Luck and Blake Bortles,
okay,
would you guys, or let's say you guys had a cloned exactly the same Andrew Luck instead of Blake Bortles, realistically, I mean, yeah, they have T.Y. Hilton. You don't have a receiver that good probably, but.
Well, like, I don't know, Allen Robinson.
Yeah, is this team really that much worse than the Colts outside, you know, from 2 to 53?
Man, I don't.
That's a hot take.
But really, I'm just knocking the Colts, because I actually think the Colts are kind of terrible outside of Luck, who's amazing.
Yeah, their run game, though, is going to be, I think, quite improved as well. I don't think
anybody can run when you have Luck.
Andrew Luck is, in my opinion, probably the 3rd or 4th best quarterback in the league.
Wait, so Geno Smith, then.
Okay. Blake Bortles.
Yeah, Geno and Blake.
Blaine Gabbert.
Oh, man. Yeah, we try not to say that name anymore.
Oh boy.
I could tell you, I think we got a 6th round pick for him who ended up becoming our starting center last year. And we were thrilled with that. I mean,
you guys ripped the Niners off.
I mean, really, that's how we saw it, though. I know a lot of Niners fans thought that they won that trade. I would say that was the worst football I think I've ever had to watch in my life.
That's saying something from a Jaguars fan.
Oh no, we were so happy to have when Henny came in and stepped in. It was night and day. And Henny's just a guy. He's a nice backup. But he's never going to win more than 4 or 5 games almost for any team. But I do think, you know, Blaine Gabbert, the difference between him and Henny was noticeable.
Well, the 32nd ranked Jaguars, but Albin sees him winning 6 games, possibly more this season, which would be a dramatic improvement. maybe starting a precedent of fans that are very confident in their teams in August of 2015 for the upcoming season. We will have to wait and see. Once again, thank you so much to Alvin Brook of Buzzsprout for giving us his expert opinion on the Jacksonville Jaguars this season. As we heard, Alvin is pretty confident. 6-10 would be an improvement for the Jaguars. But up next, we have Eston Stogner from the Tennessee Titans. And if Alvin's confident, wait till you hear what Eston has to say. We'll start out by asking you, in this past offseason, the Titans had the number 2 pick in the NFL draft. Do you think they're going to have the number 2 pick in the 2016 NFL draft?
No, definitely not. I think they should be much improved. I'd be surprised if they went at least 500, to be honest. Last season was aberration compared to what we should expect. I mean, we've been pretty much 500 for the last decade, so as long as Mariota performs decent, we should be all right, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you guys, obviously last year was basically a waste of a year. I'm sure you'd agree. You know, you used 3 quarterbacks for extended periods of time.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
actually, we got to our 4th quarterback in the last game. So
that's right. Carson Palmer's brother played also, right?
Yeah. So right. We definitely went through him.
Charlie Whiters there is in last season alone.
Definitely not a sign of success for sure.
But what? I mean, what makes you think that a 2-14 team? Because you guys weren't even a fluky 2-14 team. You were getting killed most weeks. What makes you think that a 2-14 team, you know, can transform? If Mariota takes them from 2-14 to 8-8, he's, you know, one of the top 10 players in the league, basically. What is?
I wouldn't go that Mariota? far as how. I mean, I don't really think we're a 2-14 team. I mean, obviously that was a record. You can't argue that. But there's a lot of injuries. Obviously not just at quarterback, but the offensive line. The defense got worn out most games. So worse, we're like a 5-11 team. I'd be surprised if we were 8-8. But
all right, Eston. Well, I gotta ask you. Your Twitter handle is Say No to Mariota. Is that right?
Yeah, that's not my official one. That's just one I made during the draft time. So.
All right.
But, I mean, every now and then still.
So a 2-14 team, and with the number 2 pick, they take a player who you don't want them to take. Yeah. So where's the optimism coming from?
It's just that time of year. You know, I try to be an optimistic person in life. So, I mean, all reports of Mariota, I mean, it is preseason, but, I mean, he hasn't thrown an interception yet. He's looking pretty good.
Neither is Geno Smith. Geno Smith also hasn't thrown a pick in camp.
That's true. So, I mean, obviously it doesn't mean much, but I don't know. You know, I try to look on the positive side of things. Like I said, I don't really think the 2-14 represents the team. And plus, the defense should be a lot better. We got Daenerys, Searcy, Paris Cox, you know, a couple guys in the secondary that should vastly improve that. And the defensive line, Jarrell Casey, he's really good. Zach Brown's coming back. He was injured the first game last year, so that'll be a big plus for the defense. Avery Williamson, he was a surprise rookie last year. He should be a lot better with another year under his belt. So, I mean, there's a lot of good things that you could look at. Doyle Green Beckham, I think, could be huge, at least in the red zone, third down area. So, I don't know if he'll have a huge impact, but definitely in the red zone. He's a big, big kid.
Eston, so do you have confidence in Ken Wisenhunt as the Titans coach?
Sure. I mean, I think so. It sounds like they're adjusting to Mariota's, what's it called, strengths. They're running a little read options, a little design runs. So, I mean, that gives you a little hope that he's not being stubborn as he has in the past. I don't know if that's forced down for management, but, I mean, it changed, so that's positive.
You know, you talked about last season that the offensive line had a lot of injuries. And I think what I've heard is that Michael Roos retired and Taylor Lewin, they're moving over to left tackle. You know, this is an offensive line that to me doesn't seem like it gives a lot of confidence, and especially for a rookie quarterback who's going to need time adjusting to the NFL speed. I mean, is he going to get sacked 60 times? Is he going to make it through the season healthy even?
I don't know if he'll make it through healthy. We haven't had a quarterback make it the whole season for like the last 10 years. So, I mean, obviously as a Titans fan, that's something that you would definitely not take for granted if he makes it all 16 games.
So we get more Zach Mettenberger selfie time?
Maybe, possibly. I mean, that'd be something a lot of message boards would be looking forward to. There'd be a lot of fights going on there if that happened, a lot of talk between the two sides, anti-Mettenberger, pro-Mettenberger side. So if he gets some time, that'd definitely be interesting.
do you think Mettenberger wants to play if they're playing Houston and J.J. Watt's lined up opposite him again?
Man, I think Mettenberger's a competitive guy. I think he wants to play all the time no matter who's there. I think he'll take the best if he has a chance, for sure.
What do you think about the Titans skill position players? I mean, on paper, they have a lot of wide receivers. I'll say they have a lot of wide receivers people have heard of, not necessarily guys who are in their prime
Yeah.
You know, with a lot of with a big track record. What do you think about the wide receiver situation?
Well, I am kind of upset that we lost Neil Washington. He's one of my favorite players in the last few years, and I think he's probably the best free agent pickup they've ever had. But he's not in Houston now, so, I mean, Kendall Wright, he should step up big time. He's a quality wide receiver if he has a good quarterback. I think Mariota is actually the perfect quarterback for a wide receiver like Kendall Wright, who could kind of get shallow, create some space, get the ball, and move. So, I mean, he could – and at Baylor, playing with RG3, they pretty much played street ball the whole season. So, I mean, if they have to improvise, he should excel there. DGB, I'm really excited about. Dorial Green-Beckham, he's like 6'6", 250 pounds or something crazy like that. He's a huge kid. Justin Hunter, I don't really know what to say about him. He's kind of soft, but, I mean, he could flash. He's flashed before, so who knows if he takes the next step this year.
Didn't they sign Harry Douglas also?
Yes, Harry Douglas. I'm actually very happy about that signing. I thought he did really good in Atlanta when he had the chance when Julio and Roddy went down. So he'll be definitely a good veteran presence there, and he might be able to take over for Nate Washington, his spot a little bit. And Hakeem Nicks as well has actually looked pretty good so far. So he might surprise some people.
And what about I
think if he makes the team, he'll surprise people.
He's actually been running with the ones so far.
Wow.
So, that's kind of... Harry Douglas, I don't know if that says a lot about the talent skill or if he's actually improving.
Does Harry Douglas have to build a new house with a giant indoor swimming pool with a huge tree in the middle, or can he bring his old one?
Does he have that? I mean, that's pretty awesome.
On Hard Knocks last year, they went to his house, and he had a giant indoor swimming pool with like a 35-foot tree inside his house.
Well, that's pretty impressive. I mean, I'd definitely try to transport that if I could.
He's a backup.
Well, Atlanta's not that far of a drive, right?
I mean, I'm sure he could build another one. I don't really know how much he got, but he must have got a good little chunk of change. They didn't announce it for a little while. I was curious to see, but then I kind of just gave up.
Do you live in Nashville?
No, I'm actually never been there. I'm from Tucson, Arizona.
Ah, okay.
Well, how are you a Titans fan?
I mean, really the first year I really got into football was 99, and I just liked the look of their jerseys and stuff, really. I mean, as corny as that sounds, but started watching them. Steve McNair was awesome. Eddie George was awesome. Frank Wycheck. Javon Curse was the rookie freak, you know. I mean, there's a lot to like about him, and just kind of rode with them ever since.
But you're like a front runner, but you picked the wrong team, kind of.
Well, but 1999, that was just in time for the Music City Miracle.
Yeah, right. Definitely. So,
if we're going to be honest, though, Frank Wycheck, that pass, that was a forward pass, you know.
No, actually, I mean, they proved it, like, scientifically that there's no way it could have gone forward. So there's it's been shut down, man.
Science.
I think they did, like, a sports science on it, and it went the Titans away, so no asterisks.
Yeah, I remember that. And then they ended up going all the way to the Super Bowl that year. So.
Yeah, and actually, for, like, a decade, they had, like, one of the top records in the whole NFL from, like, 99 to 2008 almost. They had one of the top five records, so.
Might be, I mean, they're pretty good.
I mean, who knows? I mean, they got two young quarterbacks that have potential. I mean, myself, yep. I'd probably rather go with Mettenberger. I mean, I probably would have drafted someone else in the draft, obviously, with my Twitter handle and everything. But
who did you want them to take?
Amari Cooper, probably. But, I mean, I'm happy that we ended up getting DGB. But I was looking forward to seeing Mettenberger to Cooper all year. But, I mean, he's in Oakland.
While we're talking about the offense, in the backfield, you know, last year in fantasy drafts, I think Bishop Sankey was the consensus number one rookie taken. And then anybody who wasted a pick on Bishop Sankey did not have to worry about the playoffs, much like the Titans. So,
yeah.
So what kind of running game are they going to have with helping Mariota back there?
I think Sankey actually surprised a lot of people this year. I don't know the exact stat, but I did read that he was ahead of Marshawn Lynch in yards after contact. So, I mean, he just got hit a lot. If you actually watch the games behind the line, our line was terrible, as we alluded to before. I mean, I think he'll look good. Justin Fowler is a power back. He's looking pretty strong. David Cobb, I mean, I haven't really heard too many positives about him, but a lot of people are excited about him during the draft. So, I mean, there'll definitely be a running back by committee, but I think Bishop Sankey will definitely be a lot better than he was last year.
Yeah, my concern with Sankey is that he only ran for 3.7 yards a carry, and as you say, they had a bad line, but like all the other running backs, even Sean Green, who was done 2 years ago, was a half yard per carry better than him. Like, that's not – and running backs is really the one position where you can come out of the gate and, you know, play really well. So,
yeah, I mean, definitely.
He may be a bust.
Yeah, that's a possibility. There's obviously hindsight. They could have took Jeremy Hill, and, I mean, who knows how he would have looked here, but in Cincinnati he looked like a special player. So, I mean – But, I mean, hopefully if he does bust, David Cobb kind of works out as a decent back. That'd be nice. He was a pick in the fourth round this year, I think. So, I mean, it'd be all right. And Justin Fowler, he's really good out of the backfield, actually. He had, I don't know if it was last year or the year before, catching, he had more reception touchdowns than Amari Cooper. So, I mean, in the red zone, him and Mariota could be, you know, running around doing some stuff, catching some touchdowns. That'd be nice.
So let's give the benefit of the doubt and assume that Mariota stays upright, the offense improves, they grab a couple extra games. Defensively, this was still a really, really bad team last year. And from what I've seen, their big offseason acquisition on the defensive side of the ball was Brian Arakpo, who spends more time playing Scrabble than football the last few seasons. So, you know, what gives you confidence that their defense is going to improve this year?
Mariota is the type of quarterback that could sustain drives, so they won't be as tired as they were last year. They spent a lot of time on the field last year. That would be a plus. Like I said, they're getting Zach Brown back. Avery Williamson is going to have another year under his belt. Jarrell Casey just keeps getting better. They have Denaris Searcy. Who knows if he's really that good or if he was just a product of the Bills last year, or their front seven getting that push that they did. He's not going to have that here in Tennessee, so that'll be something to watch. Parrish Cox as well at cornerback. Hopefully he's a upgrade over Bleedy Ray Wilson. I don't know, whatever BWW is. I forget. Bleedy Ray, whatever his name is. I don't like that guy anyways. So. he had a horrible – I don't know if you guys seen the Cincinnati game, but he had a chance to light up Andy Dalton, and he just, like, gave him a shoulder bump and let him run in for a – receiving touchdowns. So ever since then, I kind of wanted to forget about that guy. But so hopefully, yeah, Parrish Cox steps up.
He's in Pro Football Focus ranks players by like color based on, you know, from elite, high quality, good to average. He's in red for poor.
Yeah, that's not something that you want as your number two cornerback. Jason McCourty on the other side, the number one cornerback, he's always been pretty steady. He was hurt last year, so he'll be, but he still played. He's a tough guy, so he'll be better this year. And just Dick LeBeau coming, that's a huge acquisition. Obviously, he left Pittsburgh and came over here to work with his buddy Jim Horton. So we'll see how that works.
How old is Dick LeBeau now?
Probably too old to still be coaching, but
is he pulling those 18-hour days?
I mean, he could split it up with Horton now, so he doesn't have to do all that. I think I said Jim Horton. It's a Ray Horton accident, so I don't know where I got Jim from.
Well, you know, it's good to hear some confidence. I think that one of the problems that Ken Whisenhunt had in Arizona, and we also saw it last year in Tennessee, was other than the 1 year that he had a healthy Kurt Warner, he couldn't stick with a quarterback. He'd switch quarterbacks again and again. And, you know, hopefully now that they have all this invested in Mariota, they're going to give him run and they're going to give him an opportunity to fail. And then ultimately, hopefully, to succeed. But, you know, I know that Akiva is a fan of the old Mike and the Mad Dog game, which Bill Simmons co-opted later. So we're gonna run through the schedule week by week. And you said you see him going 8-8, so let's see where we can pull that out.
Okay, so week one in Tampa.
Jameis versus Mariota.
We'll call that a win.
Okay. I mean, we're going to be talking about the Bucks soon, spoiler alert, so it's not exactly a powerhouse battle.
Yeah.
And then week two, they don't play a home game until week three. Week two, I can't believe you can't get the powerhouse, you know, TV magnet Titans team, like an early home Monday Night Football game. I'm shocked. at Cleveland, week two.
We'll go with another win there.
Two straight road wins to
start. Man, I might end up going like 11-5 by the time we're done with
that. But I'd like to point out that their only national game this season for the Titans is a Thursday night game the week before Thanksgiving against the Jaguars on NFL Network.
Oof. Yeah, that's 2 years running where their only primetime game was Thursday night against the Jaguars, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I mean, you know what it is? It's like the two worst TV teams in the league ratings-wise, probably.
In one time.
All right, so now you're 2-0. Week three, you're coming home for the home opener against probably also going to be 2-0 Indianapolis Colts. First place in the AFC South on the line. What happens in week three?
Man, I really want to say a win, but, I mean, we haven't beat Andrew Luck yet, so I think we're going to take the loss there.
Is that right? He's undefeated against Tennessee?
I think, yeah.
By the way, this is the craziest schedule I've ever seen.
Yeah, we got four home games
now. They have a bye week in week four, and then they have three more home games. They have four straight home games. There's got to be many, many years since any team's had four straight home games.
Yeah, I think we looked online, and it's been about, like, at least 30 years. So.
Yeah. It's almost like a glitch. It's crazy.
And this whole schedule, just looking, I mean, this is an easy schedule. Now, it is. You know, when you're a bad team in a bad division, that's what's going to happen. But
yeah.
All right, so we're in October, week four. They're still at home for the Buffalo Bills.
We're going to go with the loss there.
Oh, so they're winning on the road, but they can't hold it together at home, even against Buffalo. Well,
you got the Colts there with the high-powered offense and the Bills with the really tough defense, and I don't know if Mariota is going to be ready for that. So I'll just go with the last day. Go 2-2 right now.
Right. Actually, just to take a step back for a second, I know that you said you were not high on Mariota in the draft. If Winston had been available, would you have wanted him or no?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're higher, actually, on Winston than you are on Mariota.
I think, yeah, just more of the system he was coming out of. I mean, you know, guys like Mariota didn't seem to really pan out too well. But he's been better than I thought he would, I guess. So a little more optimistic than I was back then.
All right. Okay, so then week five. Still home, as Akiva said, against the Dolphins.
Go with the win there.
All right, the 3-2 Titans. We're gonna be getting like, you know, Jim Nance and Phil Sims coming to one of these games soon.
That'd be nice. Make a little time on ESPN, a little 30-second segment. That'd be cool.
Well, I think
they host the Falcons, the fourth straight home game.
Yeah, that one would be on Fox, though, so no Phil Sims just yet.
The Falcons, with Dan Quinn's new head coach, they're going to probably be playing some tough defense, so I'll go with a loss there.
That's 3-3. They really play a lot of games in the South. All right. Then they have another two-game road swing at Houston.
Win.
Cool. Oh, boy. At Houston.
Take that, J.J. Watt.
All right. So then week nine, you go to New Orleans.
I'll go with a surprise win there.
All right, another
win. Oh, my gosh. What's the record now?
Well, that's they're 4-0 on the road now, halfway through the season.
5-3. Oh, man. Right now, you just gave the Titans the cover of Sports Illustrated. They're on the cover, man. This week. 5-3. They beat Drew Brees on a pick six in overtime.
Oh, I can believe that, actually.
Then they host Carolina at 5-3. Wow, big game. 5-3 Titans, 6-2 Panthers.
We'll go with the last there.
Okay, fair enough. So now they're 5-4.
I'm a fan of Cam Newton. I think he's a good quarterback. He's gonna be tough to stop. Our defense is gonna have a hard time there.
Yeah, but now you have a short week going to Jacksonville to the vicious Jaguars crowd on a Thursday night.
Man, we're gonna lose that game.
Oh boy, this is such an up and down schedule. We're like flipping coins here. All right, so they're 5-5 at that point.
Look, Akiva, beating the Titans at home is a thing that very few teams in the NFL can do. Apparently, only the Jaguars. But
only Jaguars.
They got our number on that.
One of the crazy things, and this schedule really is insane. But one of the craziest things is right now the stretch that we're talking about: two games against the Jaguars, a game against the Jets, a game against the Raiders. I mean, it's an unbelievable stretch, like if you're, you know, a good team.
Yeah, well, with the Titans.
Now you have them at 5-5, and they host the Raiders that next week after a long break.
We'll take a win there.
6-5, and then they go to then they host Jacksonville.
Win.
Oh, my God, 7-5. And now you're going to a frigid New York on December 13th in the playoff race. Probably if you get a win, you're probably in that sixth seed in the, you know, in the playoffs. Do they win at the Jets and Geno Smith or at Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Oh, man. It's probably going to be Ryan Fitzpatrick, and he's probably going to kill him, so we'll go with the loss.
Oh, boy. Revenge. This is revenge.
Yeah, he destroyed us last year with Houston, so, I mean, could happen two times in a row.
And then you're in New England at 7-6, yeah, trying to keep the
schedule. Finally gets tough by Christmas time.
Yeah, it gets tough. Those last 3 weeks is really difficult. That's why you guys really need to be 11-2 going into that stretch. That's I would advise.
Oh man, we're gonna lose that game probably bad too.
And then do you win any of the last two?
What's that?
Well, do you win any of the last two?
You play Houston at home. You already beat them on the road.
Yeah, they're gonna be.
Oh yeah, win that one.
But... Ah, sweep of Houston.
Oh, and actually, yeah, we'll win that one. Sure.
So right, you're 8-7. You're probably.
You know what?
I don't know if you're mathematically eliminated, but you're one of those, like, there's seven teams alive, but you're, you know, you need all six of them to lose and you need to win.
Yeah, but you know what, Akiva? There's a very good chance that Indy's resting people up by week 17.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they've clinched the division, you know, before Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. They beat you guys already, so that's one win. So let's say they're 12-3 and they have one of the byes.
You know, I'm a team in my prediction. I guess we'll go 9-7.
Oh, 9-7!
Oh my gosh. 9-7 for the Titans.
And are they sneaking into a playoff spot there? Are they gonna sneak into a playoff spot there, or is that gonna be a hard luck 9-7?
Not this year, I don't think.
Alright.
Well, we'll be it's like right. one
we're
half
be,
of a game
we're
shot.
Gonna be realistic. They're gonna win 9 games, but they're not gonna make the playoffs. Alright.
Titan way.
So there you have it. The Tennessee Titans and Eston Stogner are very confident. His 2-14 team with, I would guess, Rookie of the Year, Marcus Mariota, turning them around 9-7.
Yeah, if he brings them to 9-7, he plays all 16 games. Unless Winston goes out of his mind or Cooper is like another, you know, Odell Beckham Jr., he's going to win Rookie of the Year, right?
Oh, man, I'm going to go with Dorial Green-Beckham, man. He's going to get like 50 touchdowns in the red zone.
Oh, boy.
Vince Young, when he was a rookie for the Titans, they had a really good rookie season. He actually made the Pro Bowl, I remember, as an alternate, didn't he?
Yeah, he did really good his rookie season. As most mobile scrambling quarterbacks do, they get a have a really good rookie season and kind of go down from there.
Yeah, I mean,
well, Vince Young was at the Pro Bowl this past season too. He was ripping tickets.
Yeah, I mean, it did look like they had a another Steve McNair there for a little while.
Yeah, it was an exciting time, man. It definitely was. But him and Fisher got into it and just took over the whole team. Their little spat. So. That ended that.
All right. Well, Eston, thanks for joining us. I wish you and the Titans the best of luck this season.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me, man.
All right. This is Alex Chester and Akiva Wieneker, 32 fans in 32 days, and that was 31st. Thanks again to Eston. And that means episode 1 is finished. We've covered both the Jaguars and the Titans, the dregs of the AFC South, but their fans are a lot more confident this season. So tomorrow we will see if that confidence continues as we go on to the 30th-ranked Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Akiva, how was episode 1 for you?
You know, in terms of the teams, like, you can only go up from the Jaguars and the Titans. I think we can only get better.
All right, so those teams are looking to improve. We're looking to improve as well. So, once again, please subscribe on iTunes. Please rate the podcast. Let us know how we can get better, hopefully with some constructive criticism. But if you think we're terrible, let us know that as well. That's good to know. And we will speak to you all tomorrow.